Alrighty, everyone. Welcome back to On the Gravel with me, Raven, and my co-host, Oliver.
That's me, if you've never heard my voice before. Happy Sunday to you guys.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday for all of our American listeners. And if you're not an American listener, well, happy Super Bowl Sunday. You don't really care, just like I don't really care. So
it's kind of like a national holiday over here.
Depending on who's playing, but for me today, I do not care.
We do not care over here. You know what I care about?
Car reveals. F1 car reveal news. Steak is the first one that revealed over the week. Oh boy. The only two things I have is it looks like Ben 10 is sponsoring this car, and it looks like Monster from Teen Titans turned into an F1 car.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot about this livery on social media. A lot of people really like it. I don't know what they're on when they say that, but I can't say that I'm a fan of it myself. It looks really strange. I don't really think the neon green really works on that car for me personally. Yeah, I might.
Looks
get
like
hate
Chuck
for
Hicks.
It, yeah, Chuck it, Hicks it does give me Chick Hicks from Cars
Chick
vibes.
Hicks, yeah,
our especially fake with Piston Cup winner,
especially with Valtteri Bottas and his mustache, absolutely fitting the role.
Yeah, their overalls are also a bit weird as well. The color blocking on them doesn't really work for me, in the sense that the car does as well. They kind of give the same energy as the McLaren overalls gave when they released those. I wasn't a fan of those either.
But then they actually showed Lando and Oscar like in the car and on the grid with them, and it looks a lot better than what we first thought. So
most definitely. And I think what is good for the steak F1 team is the fact that this livery will pop on track. There'll be a very notable color addition to the grid. I mean, you haven't seen green in so many years. Green like that in forever. So I'm going to be optimistic about it. It's a cool idea, I can't lie. But there's a lot of exposed carbon fiber. We've already had talks about that.
For a lot of these cars, there's a lot of carbon fiber, which, feel how you want to feel about it. I understand that they're trying to chip away at some of the weight from paint with using carbon fiber, but at the same time, the cars, like, I've seen dark mode memes all around Instagram and Twitter, and I see what they're doing. I don't hate it, but at the same time, I feel like the front of the cars are where you're going to want most of the pop of color just for those wide shots.
Especially if you're, you know, if Martin Brundle's going to be doing his lap commentary during qualifying, you're going to get a lot of those front angle shots where they're darting through the corners. So it's definitely the most important to have it on the front and the rear wing of the car for that head-on angle that you're looking at. But there was one team that actually came to the rescue when it came to color on the cars, and that was our favorite new F1 team, Visa Cash App RB. I can't lie. I think it looks really good.
I think this car is really, like, it's obviously the car that looks the most like some of the previous cars and liveries in the years past, just with the most color and stuff.
It's a really big homage to the Toro Rosso days.
Yeah, I said it looks, I mean, if you look a picture of the Toro Rosso, which is the old Red Bull, 2017 through 2019, the car looks almost identical, just slight.
That livery was so beautiful, and there were so many good moments in those cars for the drivers that drove for that team.
Yeah, I love the white overalls, especially with
those are phenomenal.
Helmets. The helmets too, both
Yuki and Daniel's helmets look really nice. Yeah. I'm surprised how little color Daniel's helmet has this year compared to years past as well. He kind of went for
something just
gray.
A little more simple.
Is that because he's in his demon era? We shall see.
Well, I think it's more so like with all of the applied parts coming from Red Bull to the AlphaTauri, the car is going to be a lot better. So I know for a fact they're taking a lot of like the suspension and axis components from the Red Bull. So hopefully we see a more competitive team from them, and maybe there's a little bit more of a competition for Alpine in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I also don't know if you like really took a look at the car itself on top of the livery. I mean, it's a show car at the end of the day, but the slit in the side pod looks so much more profound than it did last year, which I know Red Bull was very notable for kind of being the pioneers of that when these regulations came out. And, you know, you had every team trying to copy them, bar Mercedes, who just said, we'll just do no side pods. And, you know, we've seen how much of a tractor that car's been for the past few years. But it really looks like RB is following that design philosophy now, which I think is a very good thing for them, especially with all these new parts that they're taking over from Red Bull. So it's going to be good to see how they're going to do this year. I think they're going to bounce back from last year for sure.
I also think their media posts about the car reveal were some of the best.
I agree.
The simple white backdrop and the drivers and their number. Absolutely, yeah. Outstanding for just the style of the car and the team's new kind of energy. So keeping it simple and not throwing, you know, Visa and Cash App just everywhere on the car and on their suits is really, really
nice. Yeah, I was very worried that there was going to be a lot more green on that car than there was. And I actually think they incorporated the Cash App logo pretty well. I can't lie.
I think they did it really well having it multiple places, but then only having the green pop on the side of the front wing.
And on that rear wing. Those are literally the only two spots of green.
I'm pretty sure it's also where the carbon fiber is. So it gives it a nice contrast and like doesn't make it look like an eyesore.
Definitely, that's a good point.
Moving on to Williams, absolutely looking super clean in blue and black. It does have a lot of exposed carbon fiber, which...
But
it's okay.
It works way more.
It does.
The shades of blue that they used actually make the carbon fiber seem less notable than they are on... Very specifically, the next car we're going to talk about after this. But this is another one that I saw a lot of people say that they didn't like. You know, a lot of people liked the Stake, which I didn't like. A lot of people didn't like the Williams, which I'm very confused about because it looks gorgeous. I think the last year's car that they revealed, a lot of people fell in love with that. I did too. And I didn't really think they were going to refine it and make it even better than it was last year, but I think they absolutely knocked it out of the park. And it seems like a very classic livery to me. They incorporated all the new sponsors really well onto the car, and that thing is going to look so pretty on track. So I'm super excited for that one.
Yeah. Moving over to the Alpine.
Arguably the most controversial livery so far.
Okay, there's the livery, there's the car, and then there's the driver's reaction. So that's how I'm going to break it down. But they revealed the new A524. I can't wait for Miss Piggy and Kermit to be on the back of the grid together. It's going to be so good seeing them in Stake just, you know, shanking into the wall like the French usually do.
Australia 2023. God, yeah.
All of the Alpine drivers, when they saw the car, there's a still that was going around Instagram. All three of them had the most defeated French demeanor, like they just watched everything they loved die.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
I haven't seen so much color stripped out of a car. Like, the Alpine is black.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and they're supposed to be pink for the first three races of the year. So this is where I kind of think that pink camo livery that they dropped a little, I think towards the beginning of the month, where
that little teaser.
Yeah, the little teaser of the, it was like the nose pod.
People are furious about that.
So I think what they're going to do is that's going to be the livery for the first three cars because they need to do the
pink. No, they fully revealed the livery.
The pink one?
Yeah. Because it looks so similar to the blue one, you can't even tell. Because there's already so little blue on the initial livery that the special one that they'll do in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Australia, it looks exactly the same.
That's... Oh, if I'm an investor...
No, that's why... Yeah.
If I'm an investor, I'd be livid.
I also don't think... I like the sponsors don't pop on the cars. The only sponsor that pops is the BWT sponsorship.
Because it's the only part of camo, right?
It's the only thing that's really getting color on the car. I mean, and then like Castrol Edge up top. But yeah, this pink camo that they teased, it was a picture of the front wing, and it took us back to that like special palace livery that they dropped last year for a single race. And I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to get like a super cool Alpine. And then they dropped the worst thing I've ever seen. And now everybody's wondering, you know, what was the point of that post? Is that just hinting towards a one-off special livery now that they might do at some point this year? Like there's really no indication what that photo even means now, but they teased it so much and got everybody's hype up and then dropped this piece of garbage. So Alpine fans, I feel very, very sorry for you.
I'm checking to see if it's even still up on their Instagram.
It was yesterday. But I don't know. I'm losing, like, it seems like they're losing the heart for the sport, I guess. It's going to be so difficult to...
God, that was only 5 days ago,
track. I know. And so many people probably tuned into their live stream for that and were utterly disappointed.
Let's talk about how bad of a shit show that was, because, oh my God. They not only revealed their F1 car, but they also revealed the A424, which is the hypercar they're using in WEC this year. And even then, I think people were really, really disappointed with how that car looked.
I actually didn't think the hypercar looked that bad.
I think it definitely looks better than the F1 car, but I still think people weren't happy with the overall product.
Yeah, I don't think anybody there was really enjoying themselves. Like, with their demeanors there, it was like they're just there for work and they want to leave. Like, Gasly, Ocon, and Doohan all just seemed so out of it and so disconnected.
It was also so long.
It was unbelievably drawn out.
Like, I understand that you're wanting to talk about the cars and show the little hype videos you got about it. That's fine. But, like,
hey, that's what preseason testing's for.
We don't need 2.5 hours of people talking about the car.
Agreed.
Like, wrap that down to 30 minutes and the car reveals and then put that out. A lot more people can watch it. A lot more people will be intrigued in watching it. And just,
well, you got to make it more digestible for people. Like, we don't have a single lap time for this car. I don't know how easy it is for the casual fan to actually digest anything they're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I would also, do they break down like some of the new features of the car, or do they,
but
not very well.
I don't think they do it well for casuals.
I think, well, I mean, there's probably two reasons for that. One, for kind of keeping some of the secrecy behind the car while...
Of course.
But I do think if it's like you have...
But it just feels like you're going in there and yapping for 2 hours.
Yeah,
then.
I know what you mean. But I feel like overall they should just give a little 3-minute synopsis of things that have changed with the car. Like small design things, or
yeah,
weight differentials, or maybe you're implementing a new suspension system. I don't know. Just say those things. Make it easier for the casual fans to really understand.
Yeah, nobody's going to steal your design philosophy off a couple sentences you say at the reveal.
So we have 5 more car reveals over the next 4 days. So that's going to be a huge talking point.
Rapid fire.
Aston Martin tomorrow, Ferrari on Tuesday, McLaren and Mercedes.
McLaren gets some asterisks.
Yeah. They're going to be on Valentine's Day on Wednesday, and then Red Bull leading out on Thursday. But the one thing that Ferrari did is they released their overalls. And
last night.
Oh my goodness. They look so good.
Dude.
Thank God they got rid of the red and... the red and yellow because the McDonald memes were very good. But
well, the yellow still exists, just not in
it's
the,
not the
same.
Second, it's not the secondary color anymore.
Yes, thank you. That explained it a bit better. I love the lines that go all around with that, like, white on the red, and, you know, for Carlos Sainz, the yellow on the red. I do like how they personalize that with giving Charles Leclerc his Monegasque white, giving Carlos his Spanish yellow, to really, you know, set them apart and give them their own personality in the same set of overalls, which is really nice. But my God, they are so sexy. They look so good, dude. And I'm so excited to see them in all of their, like, post-race interviews. When I see this man win a race, can't wait to see him standing on the podium in that piece of work of majesty.
He's going to get every pole position, and Max is going to win the race.
Charles Leclerc is going to hit 50 pole positions before he hits 10 wins.
So, continuing with some of the cars, we have some of the legal issues that Stake F1 was having. So,
this kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like because of their sponsorship, they were going to have problems at one point, and it finally has happened. But the brand Stake is an Australian gambling site. It's very popular here. It's got a lot of sponsors for a lot of streamers and stuff. A lot of people know Stake here in America, but
fortunately, a lot of your younger audience,
sadly, they do, because online gambling laws are still weird. But because the main sponsor is a gambling website, it apparently breaches Swiss advertising laws against online betting platforms, specifically for minors.
Which, if you don't know, Stake F1 is based out of Switzerland. It's the only F1 team based out of Switzerland.
So they do have to find a way to kind of work this out. It's most likely just going to be a large fine and a slap on the wrist until they become Audi, just because there's not much they can really do. I don't think you're going to try to switch your title sponsor, you know,
two, three weeks before race,
which obviously, like you said, they're not going to, but
you have the potential for a McLaren last year with Velo, where you're going to have to stick on a, you know, nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The U.S. surgeon's warning.
Yes, exactly. Where, you know, maybe like under that stake on the side, it's like, you know, problem gambling, call this number or something. But I think the
number here in America is 1-800-GAMBLING. Or like,
oh, it is. I'm pretty sure it is. That is the national gambling hotline.
Yeah.
Which is so disappointing that that has to exist. But
I mean, it's a good thing that it exists because...
No, of course it is.
Yeah. Anyways, moving off from hotlines. yeah, like you were saying, it's going to be a lot like how what with McLaren did within the U.S. races, where they're just going to have to change it a little bit. It's going to be a little bit of an eyesore, but
yeah,
if it's only for a few races in specific places, that's okay.
A few races in specific places. That was very nice.
Thank you. Let's go to the elephant in the room with Red Bull. So, Christian Horner, what's going on there, bud? Red Bull hired an independent investigator to get an unbiased answer to these alleged inappropriate behavior claims. On Friday, there was a small meeting. Apparently, it lasted 8 hours with most of the heads of the company. Not much was really released, so...
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's good to keep this as private as possible. I've heard a lot of different things of what caused this. There's speculation that this claim has come out of the Netherlands, so there's talks that it could have been a part of Max's team trying to damage the relationship between his father, Jos, and Christian himself. Apparently, this has also damaged Horner's relationship with Adrian Newey, the car designer.
Which I'm not
Helmut
surprised
Marco,
about.
The team owner?
No, he's not the team owner. I still really don't know what to classify Helmut Marco as.
That's why I look
over. He's kind of just a tech. Like, to me, he's a talent scout. That's okay. What he is at heart to me.
A lot of the relationships between Christian and a lot of the top people of Red Bull have really been damaged, and people are calling for him to step down. People internally are telling him to step down. Everything I'm kind of reading is saying that there's a lot of depth that we want to make sure that we're getting all the facts. More is going to be released next week, but until then, we can speculate with what we know or just wait and hear for the facts.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to defame his character without knowing anything. It sucks, though, because Christian Horner is essentially, he's been there since the inception of that team in 2006.
Six world titles with Red Bull?
Yeah. 2010 to 2013, and then 2022, 2023.
Five. No, I see what you mean.
Six constructors, seven drivers championships. Extremely successful tenure with that team. If it comes to an end, it is going to be utterly disappointing, especially for the people that are huge Red Bull fans because of Christian Horner. I know, like, my father is a huge, huge Christian Horner fan.
I think a lot of people are Christian Horner fans because
he's rash.
He's rash, but he's also like Zach Brown, where he's likable, you know?
Oh,
where,
absolutely.
Like, he can get these people to like you, but then he is a little abrasive, which kind of shows you the real world insides to this, because everyone always speculates that, you know, F1 is very posh and very respectful. But, you know, when you look into the nitty gritty, it's not always that.
Nobody can get under Toto Wolff's skin like Christian Horner can.
Change your car.
Your driver's saying it's not working.
Checo says the car is a piece of shit. Adrian Newey, although loyal to Horner, will probably stay if Christian leaves. I've heard some speculation that he might go to Ferrari, but at the same time, I don't think that is really true. Just because
that
of
also
his
just
style.
Seems even more out there than Lewis going to Ferrari.
Yeah, whether he leaves or not, I think the reason Red Bull's had so much success in the past 10 years is because of Adrian Newey. That's obviously no debate.
Oh yeah,
but the thing that makes me question if he's staying or leaving is, since he's the last analog car designer, he's the only person in the grid who still uses pen and paper to design these cars. Everyone else has moved on to fully online simulations and all of that stuff.
Which is so impressive, dude.
It really is. Especially
like in this day and age, still doing analog car design.
But then still just being better than everyone still.
And being better.
It's absolutely impressive. But
Andy's out here designing this hypercar now.
On his free time, you know, just casually.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. This guy is a
very talented. But the reason I don't think he's not going to leave is because Red Bull has fully embraced him and his style. I don't think any other team would want to make that switch.
Yeah.
Just because
you'd have
to
start from the ground up.
I was going to say, you're essentially wiping the dust off of everything you put in storage from the last like 15 years. So there's a lot that's going to happen with Red Bull. I think Adrian's going to stay. I think Christian, depending on what we hear, will step down or
make a scene and get fired
or take a hiatus.
That's another option. That's an option.
So we'll have to wait till next week till we hear a little bit more about that.
I mean, who would you even replace him with? Gunther Steiner?
I heard calls to get Steiner back, which is
dude,
not...
Steiner at the head of Red Bull would be insane.
Max, drive. Just drive the car.
Max, stop with the complaining.
Stop with the complaining. Drive the car. There's nothing wrong with the car. So, yeah, it's everything about this silly season, which we all speculated at the beginning of the year was not going to be a silly season, within 3 weeks absolutely screwed up everything. So moving on. So some more news has come out about Lewis Hamilton. Apparently his contract with Ferrari has a no poaching clause, which means he cannot take any of his engineers or his race engineer to Ferrari with him. So
the death of Lewis and Pete Bonington.
Bono, baby.
It's
They've been together since the start of Ferrari or start of Mercedes.
I know he's been there for at least the beginning of Mercedes. I believe they were together at McLaren as well.
Let me do a little research.
And Pete came from McLaren to Mercedes with Lewis. Like, Lewis's relationship with Bono was really important to him. So he did, you know, kind of carry him throughout his career. Wherever Lewis was going, Pete went as well. So the fact that he's going to lose that and he'll have to deal with somebody like Xavi, I'm kind of worried about that. I don't know how Lewis will react to that kind of stuff because I feel like nobody from a race engineer perspective knows Lewis like Bono does. And I don't know how, like, I know Xavi is Charles's race engineer, but like, we'll just use that as an example, just so, you know, how he'll deal with him.
Apparently Bono was Jenson Button's performance engineer for Braun, which was their first world championship for both those guys, both Button and Bonington. After that, and Braun got bought by Mercedes, he became Michael Schumacher's race engineer for a little bit. And then after he left...
That's when Lewis came in.
That's when Lewis came in, and he became the race engineer at the end of 2012.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so it's just Mercedes.
Which is still crazy.
That's over 10 years.
Yeah. And what, 5 world championships?
Six.
Six or seven, depending on who you ask.
Or eight, depending on who you ask.
It's going to be interesting seeing all the Team LH fans at Ferrari now.
Yeah. My team's in shambles.
It's okay. It's okay. The whole grid's in shambles, bro.
Yes, sir.
I didn't really write this down, but I want to riff about this for a second. But there's been some speculation with what Mercedes is going to do with their other seats. I have heard a few of names, including Carlos Sainz, Valtteri Bottas, Aston Martin driver Fernando Alonso. So,
and you can't forget the young prodigy Kimi Antonelli as well.
Yeah, so a lot of promising talent and what's the word I'm looking for? Already proven talent on the grid that could be taking this spot.
If Kimi Antonelli wins F2, doesn't matter who's in F1, he'll get that seat.
Crazy take, but okay.
Mercedes will try and pull some McLaren with Lewis Hamilton in 2007, you know? Mercedes.
While the British Grand Prix is secured till 2034, Singapore is apparently in the hot seat with some internal corruption issues that make the fate of the race uncertain. So I was doing a little bit of research. Apparently, one of the guys who was a big factor in getting the race to Singapore in the first place was taking a bunch of like bribery charges, apparently, or
yeah,
like there's some sort of internal.
He has so many counts of corruption.
It's I believe him. It was saying like he was taking money, race tickets, and like some rights to the race to get there. It sucks. Singapore's Singapore's a great track. I mean, the changes they made this year with removing the final four corners make that track a little bit more fun, a little more faster.
It was arguably, depending on who you ask, the greatest race last year as well. Not even given that Red Bull didn't win. It was just so nice seeing three different teams fight for the win.
And just seeing Carlos Sainz absolutely say, screw you, strategists, I'm doing
exactly
my thing. And you get to see the Carlando relationship. So it's always good to see those two helping each other out.
I hope this doesn't boil over into Singapore losing its spot on the calendar. It probably won't. This is something that'll probably get solved internally.
Hopefully, but if they find enough issues where a lot of things are pointing to the reason that race even exists is because of the corruption and the things that he did to get that race there, F1 will pull their contract and either renegotiate or totally back out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they even blackball them.
Yep. And then we have a Valencia situation.
But while that is leaving, we still have, you know, the rise of street circuits. You got Madrid absolutely being confirmed for 2026. And then, like we talked about last week, Chicago.
But you know what isn't a street circuit? Malaysia, baby. Oh, yeah. We might be going back to Malaysia.
I've never been to Malaysia, actually.
Well, okay. I've never been to Malaysia either. Patronus came in and dropped an absolute missile, becoming the new title sponsor of the Sepang International Circuit. And with their huge ties to Mercedes, there's the potential that F1 could go back to racing on that beautiful Tilke circuit. There is potential, you know, that this could cause way too many potential race contracts. And, you know, you might have to start seeing rotation, that kind of thing. But Petronas has been very adamant about bringing this race back to the calendar as early as 2026. They know how renowned this circuit is in the world. They know how many people love this place. They know Malaysian fans want F1 back in their country. And I think Malaysia is just the perfect place to go. I mean, if you sat 100 people down and asked them if they could bring back one F1 circuit, you know, what would they bring back? If they don't say Hockenheim, they're going to say Malaysia. It is one of the best circuits in the world. And we have been away from that circuit for too long. But hey, voice crack.
Yeah, that was bad, dude.
All right.
Wrapping up some of our F1 talk for today. There's some new DRS rules, which for some of our listeners who don't know what DRS is, it's drag reduction system. Essentially, after the third lap of the race, cars could enable DRS on specific straights. All that really does is on the tail flap, it opens, allowing more air to go through, making the car about 7 or 8 kilometers faster for those straights.
Yeah, depending on the track, it could be anywhere from 7 to 15. Yeah.
And I also believe there's usually 1 to 3, depending on the DRS zones per race. So
yeah, Australia almost had 4.
Austria has 2.
2. Yeah, you have it on the main straight.
And then the final.
Austria has 3.
Oh, they do have 3 because it's the first,
second, and third straight. Yep.
So it is very interesting. Essentially, they're going to be starting on the second lap instead of the third lap, so it's going to be a little bit faster right away.
Something that was hinted at last year, and that's now coming into effect, and I think it'll be a very good change.
As well as, I believe it used to be, it could only be reactivated 3 laps after the safety car. Now it is going to be reactivated after 1 lap, so going to be good just to see these cars going a little faster, a little bit more. And I really like how right after the safety car is done, just 1 lap and then you can go.
Well, it diminishes the importance of that safety car restart in the sense that you can't break away as much as you used to be able to, which I think is good for racing because there's the potential that the second place chasing car can actually catch up. Thank you. Yeah. You know, you don't have to worry about these first couple laps after the safety car losing DRS. Since you're driving in dirty air, the DRS will be there almost immediately. So you can immediately get back to attacking the second that safety car goes in. And that's how it should be. So that's a change I'm surprised hasn't been a thing in the past. But, you know, so long as we have it now, I think it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be cool. I'm very excited to see just the cars be able to race a little bit more for a few more laps. It doesn't seem like that big of a change, but it will be a
wait
huge
till you
change.
See it on track.
I was going to say, wait till you see it on track
really
and
quickly.
And you'll really see like how much of a change this really does. Yeah, so that's kind of it for F1 this week. We do have some other racing talking points that we'll go over real quick. We have a World Rally Car Sweden happening in 3 days. Very, very exciting.
I was going to say, Raven and I were sitting up last night going over the script for the podcast, sitting with our buddy Regan in the UK, just watching the Monte Carlo WRC highlights. And my goodness, has that got me excited for this next one coming up.
Definitely going to be watching some more rally car in the future. This is going to be a very, very good one. I know the Rally Sweden track is a very, very famous track. I got some stuff pulled up here, including the full driver's list. It's going to be an exciting, very, very exciting race. You have, forgive me for mispronouncing these names, but it says like the hockey show where everyone's not American, so the names are very, very hard.
Very but difficult.
We have Kalle Rovanperä. Definitely butchered that, but back-to-back WRC winning titles, 23-year-old Finn. He won this event in 2022 and will be driving a Toyota Gazoo Racing GR Yaris Rally 1.
Toyota Gazoo is the team you want to be with. If you've ever watched WEC, you know how successful they are in the hypercar class. So I'm not surprised this guy already has two world titles at the age of 23.
Yeah, some of the teams, it's mostly Toyota Gazoo. You got some Ford rally car, Hyundai. But then it gets into like smaller, just personal teams that are,
which is so nice that that still exists,
that they're renting cars from, which is really cool. And it's not only Rally Car 1, but you have Rally Car 2 and 3, which slightly slower, a little bit lighter cars, allowing these guys to compete on different levels, essentially, which I think is really cool.
And hey, if you're a WEC watcher, that'll make the transition a little bit easier for you. You got your multi-class racing, which is a beautiful thing.
It's going to be really, really cool seeing some cars on some snow driving really fast, because these cars are absolute units. So
it's amazing to watch them on the road. I'm so excited to watch them live on the snow. It makes me think of the, if you've ever seen it, the Grand Tour with Jeremy Clarkson.
Clarkson,
thank you.
James May and Richard Hammond.
Yes, their episode where they had all their rally cars going through their race through Finland, Norway, Sweden was so fun to watch. Raven and I watched that a few months ago, and you'll get a lot of that. I can't remember what season and episode it was, but it's probably
it's
my
the
favorite.
Last season, episode one. It was the Scandinavian Tour.
Yeah, probably my favorite episode of that show that I've watched. If you have the time, I would definitely give it a watch just to get yourself hyped up for what you're going to see in Sweden this coming week.
I was going to say, that's a very good connecting point, because you will see some rally-style driving and some cars that are made for rally, some older rally cars, essentially. But it does give you a good idea of what these guys will be doing and the style of driving that they will be going after.
That classic Audi Quattro.
Evo Lancer and... God, what was the last one?
I think it was a Hyundai. I just can't remember.
I don't think it was. Maybe it was. But it's a really good episode. There's a lot of funny moments in that, but as well as some good focused car content as well. So that'll be very, very cool. Go check
you learn
that
a lot
out
while watching it, seriously.
That too.
And you get to see cars implode into a wall in a tunnel.
And a flaming house go down a ski house. Anyways, I'm not going to spoil any more for you guys. Last thing we want to talk about is the idea of a hydrogen car racing series. So I think this is going to be cool. It's a different take on more sustainable racing while still not being electric. The pros of hydrogen cars, from my understanding, is that you can kind of keep the engine style the same. You just need to change the fuel system and the way the actual engine is burning the fuel, which that is a lot easier than completely switching to an electric battery.
Yeah, that reminds me of, like, I think I've heard about this. This was something that happened in the past, but, like, corn fuel in the United States, if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah, corn liquor.
Yeah, corn, exactly. Like, using
high-octane corn liquor.
Yeah, essentially using that to power the car instead of
straight
gasoline.
That's what, like, a lot of, I don't know the exact name of it, but the drag-style cars that are super, super, super long but skinny as hell.
Yeah.
And then super small front wheels, but like 60-inch back wheels that are just ginormous.
Exactly.
They are not using gas. They are using high octane corn liquor. So,
but it's, I respect the drive to do something like that. You know, while still trying to keep to the fundamentals of, you know, keeping the engines. I don't want, you know, WRC to create a whole nother championship where it's, they're driving Formula E sounding cars. I mean, you know, I know for a lot of F1 fans, that is their toughest thing when going to watch Formula E. It's not the speed difference, the racing. It's literally the awful sound of the cars.
Because it sounds like a Prius.
It's just screaming in your ears for an hour and a half. It's not fun.
Yeah. But I think the hydrogen car series would be a cool step in the like future just for these cars, companies to be like...
It's a middle ground. You get the best of both worlds, you do. I guess.
And I do believe the emissions from hydrogen cars are much less impactful to our environment, which is good because we need to keep our environment.
I mean, pretty much anything's going to be better than a gas-powered car for the environment.
I mean, I was doing, this is a little tangent, but I was doing some research for one of my classes this quarter, and I'm doing a project right now that's focusing on the River Po in Italy, which is right next to Emilia Reggiani. I don't know how to pronounce it, but the...
You actually might have nailed it, Reggiani.
Yeah, that region is right next to the river, but apparently that river is super dried up. The waterfall coming in that region is like minus 30% from normal. Mm-hmm. So the fact that that race got rained out last year, although sad we didn't get to see the race, very good that they got rain. So
most definitely
something to think about. There is some news about Laguna Seca, but there's still ongoing. So we're not going to talk about that until there's at least the case closed about it. But apparently some people that are living close to Laguna Seca are complaining that the track is they are feeding emissions into the atmosphere, and that the traffic in and out of the track is a nuance to the public.
Which surprises me because Laguna Seca, to me, is in the middle of nowhere.
It is not close to the inside of the town. It is outside of the town. The town also has a water park and a golf course in the middle of town that is draws more traffic than Laguna Seca does. But my thing is, Laguna Seca, the track, was there before the town.
We made you. Laguna Seca made you.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if something's there before, man, like, squatter's rights. That's all I got to say.
So we're really giving an inanimate object squatter's
rights. Hey, man, Lake Erie has the same rights as a human. So I don't see why a track.
Okay, what am I listening to?
I don't know. I miss seeing cars go around in a circle.
Yeah, you just have to sit here and listen to the both of us banter with each other.
Yeah, but that's enough bantering for the episode. We'll catch everyone next week with the rest of the car reveals.
Yeah, next week it'll be our last true preseason episode, given the week after next will be all focused on preseason testing. I can't wait to sit down with my notepad and just take notes on preseason testing. I'm so excited.
We'll catch everyone next week. Have a good one.
Have a wonderful week, you guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.